welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Chris Simon.
And I'm Jada McCray.
And this is our podcast, Meeting You Where You Are. You see, that went so much better, right?
Good morning, everyone.
That went
Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you're listening to this.
Are you just discombobulated this morning?
A little bit. Jeez. Why you gotta show everybody?
I think you're feeling a little uncomfortable right now.
No, I'm usually on point. Can I have a day to be?
So mind you right now, Jada has a jean jacket on, flannel shirt, some black jeans, and some sneakers, right? And I I'm dressed up today. You know, I'm on.
He set me up, y'all.
I'm trying to be a CEO for the 2018. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Trying to look the part, be the part. But I felt like I had to dress up today.
Just so everyone knows, Thursdays are our relaxed day, mm-hmm. and we're recording this on a Thursday. And usually, if we're having guests, I will wear a dress. But Chris Simon, he got me on an off day, and he came in with a whole suit on.
Tell him what I had on.
He had on a handkerchief.
What else? What else?
He got a flow in his lapel.
Hey, what else?
He is killing him today. Hey, he's shining. He's got him Gucci's down to the...
Hey, Big Papa Beamer. I had to dress up today. We got the biggest boss in the building today. So I wanted to make sure that I was dressed to impress. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But so last episode we had the home ownership from an investment perspective. Mm-hmm. And that went well. The podcast is up now. Please check that out. But if you're listening to this one, I'm pretty sure you already heard the other one. So mm-hmm. that doesn't really help. but it was from a home investment perspective.
Yes.
So for 2018, you know, it's a new year, new people. Mm-hmm. We want to galvanize the people why they got this motivation. Because, you know,
yes.
come February 15th, New Year's resolutions are like done with.
We want to get you before you blow your budget.
Yeah. You want before you get your tax money, all that other stuff. We want to make sure that you get your money and that you're investing in solid things. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Your future.
Our communities, all of that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So we decided we were going to do a whole real estate series. So we got some information from Mark Witten, who crushed it the last time, from how to develop wealth in real estate without using your own money and your own credit and stuff like that. And today we have the biggest boss in the building. We got Steve Trotta, the mortgage guy in the building.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. So Steve is my buddy as well. I seem like everybody that comes on the podcast is my buddy.
Mm-hmm. I'm noticing a trend.
Being that I do all the work on the podcast.
Oh, look at that.
You know what I'm saying? Just a little
He's
shade.
Awful.
A little shade. No, but Steve is a phenomenal guy. You know what I'm saying? What he does and his business acumen is just like, I mean, he's a true businessman.
He
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He's always dressed, always ready, mm-hmm. prepared, hungry, motivated, all of the above. So Steve has actually done, he's my personal mortgage guy as well. So I'm not just bringing people on to discuss things that I haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So all of the homes that I've purchased, Steve, we work together to do the mortgage. So I'm going to speak about that.
So you're saying he's verified.
Huh?
He's verified.
Yeah, he has
Chris
a stamp.
Approved.
He got Chris approved. He has his stamps.
All right.
But then also we'll get Ashley on at some point, mm-hmm. which is, what is Ashley's title?
It depends on the day.
Insert here. So
insert
she says.
Title here.
So Ashley is, she works here, and she was introduced to Steve by me. So she was introduced to Steve by me for her mortgage. And Ashley was living like in PG. And now she purchased a home mm-hmm. in Bemore over east.
Over east.
So we're going to get her on to talk about that. So, Steve.
Yes, sir.
We got a lot of questions and we want to get right into it. Tell people about who you are, what you do first.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Give them a little bit of your
Absolutely.
Resume and let's go from there.
Well, first I want to thank you for having me on this morning. Any opportunity to educate individuals, I take very seriously.
First of all, hold on. Before we go there, we got to set the tone. My man got the black and white pinstripe suit on. The black and white polka dot tie. So he has pinstripe and polka dot at the same time.
Had to mix
time.
It up.
Making it
and
work.
It looks work.
And it
works. With the black vest, the black shirt, and then the black. And then he came in with his driving gloves stuffed in his pocket up top. I'm like, yo, this dude is going in today.
Meanwhile, I have on a plaid shirt. Do you see the setup? Okay.
But no, listen. So, Steve, I went to one of his events that he had recently, and he had this money green three-piece suit on. I was like, this dude is crushing it. And he was like, yo, I'm a boss. I'm a CEO. I look the part. I got to dress the part. And then I was working with one of stylists for the Christmas party. I'm like, what should I wear to the Christmas party? Because last year I wore the Rockwaller sweatshirt.
Yes, I remember. Nino Brown.
Sweater. and I was. She was like, yo, you're a CEO, bro. Like, don't be scared to wear a suit. And I was like, I'm trying to dumb it down and keep it true.
Don't.
She's like, no, yo, you're a CEO, bro. You need to be that. Steve at his party, I was like, you know what? 2018, I'm coming back right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt
you. I appreciate that.
I just had to set the tone and let people know what they was in for.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, sir. Try to pay attention to detail. But, again, I want to thank you guys for having me this morning. Home ownership is something I take very seriously. It is a career path for me to empower people through home ownership. But it's also, for me, a spiritual obligation as well. So I look at this as a ministry. It's a way for us to sow into our communities. And I consider myself more so an educator than a mortgage banker. So my job is to educate individuals as to what the options are, to kind of remove the veil that I feel exists with financing. Because they say, the less you know, the more money you can make off of people. We're here to reverse that. So that the more people know, the less money we made off of them. Let's pay off homes faster. Let's take advantage of things that are out there for them. Been in the business for the past 15 years. Started as a loan officer. I've ran various financial institutions, and now I'm the branch manager of Fidelity Direct Mortgage.
So you're not just a person at the bank. You actually run the bank.
Correct. So I am the branch manager of the of the institution.
Not mistaken.
Facts.
So I'm
absolutely correct. Actually, you may be a little understated.
So I do it all, but my true passion is working with individuals. I find that I like to empower myself with people who are better than me in other areas to kind of carry out the vision, and I can focus on what I truly love to do, which is working with individuals on a daily basis.
It sounds like our organization here, like Jada and Ashley, like to empower themselves with individuals who are smarter than them in other areas, so they always come to me.
I just can't today. I don't have the energy. I don't have it in me today.
But no, so Steve, being the manager of the bank, what is your daily work? Because I'm gonna talk about mortgages, talk about entrepreneurship, just all of that stuff, the way, you know, just all of that. So
absolutely,
what does your day-to-day work life look like as a branch manager or whatever the title is? And is it just from a mortgage perspective, or is it like people can come make deposits and withdrawals and all that other stuff?
So we are not a depository bank, so we're not handling deposits or investments, CDs, mutual funds, anything of that nature. We're strictly a mortgage banking institution. Our processing is done in-house, so all loans are processed directly in-house, which gives us flexibility in terms of moving files up as far as priority, allowing consumers to come in and meet directly with processors to address any concerns and issues. We're very hands-on, and we encourage the face-to-face contact. We're located in Towson, Maryland, so we're local to our dynamic. We're serving Baltimore County, City. We're licensed in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And our goal on a daily basis is to meet people where they're at.
Is it do what?
To meet people where they're at.
Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? But Ashley, so he said he gives this personal feel in banking. Mm-hmm. Is it true?
It's very true. He actually came here to meet with me.
Oh, so you didn't have to always come to him. He came to meet you where you were.
He came here to meet me where I was.
Jada, does that sound familiar?
That sounds just like us. I mean, a boss come meet with you where you are.
Come meet you where you are. Really, we heard that somewhere. What is the name of our podcast?
Meeting You Where You Are.
Meeting You Where You Are.
That's right. That's right.
So, Steve, so you handle basically all mortgages.
Correct.
So, being that you're not doing all these other things, would it be safe to assume that you are well-educated and know exactly what you're talking about as it relates to mortgages?
I feel it's my job to have the answers. And if you don't have the answer, to be honest enough to say I'm going to find out the proper answer. But information is key, and being able to label myself as an educator, that's important. So I'm studying all guidelines and programs. I'm staying abreast on new things as they come to the market. I'm doing it in a way where I can intelligently speak to you as a consumer so that you understand your options, and then you can make an educated decision for yourself and your family.
So we're going to test him, Jada. We're going to ask him a bunch of questions and all that other stuff.
Let's go.
But before we go there, how did you get into this?
It's funny. So my first business that I owned a process serving company where we would serve legal documents to individuals, you know, the whole you've been served.
You were serving people?
I was serving people.
So you were like jumping out, putting stuff on people's cars?
I was tracking people down. I was serving them. We worked with a lot of attorneys in the city, and we had a pretty large caseload doing that. And one of the attorneys one day said to me, have you ever thought about doing mortgages? So I don't know anything about mortgages. You know, I own a process serving company. And he gave me a phone number and asked me to meet with a friend of his named Josh Shine from a company by the name of Great Oak Lending out in Timonium. They're no longer in existence. But met with Josh and Jeff, the owners of the company. They gave me an opportunity, and I never looked back. So 15 years later, I sit here today.
Wow. So you went from serving people to serving people.
You've been served. Correct.
Yes. I got to be honest and say, Steve is a big guy. You guys can't see this, but I have to say that I would not want Steve knocking on my door to serve me.
Open up.
And prior to that, I come from a human services background, similar to yourself. So I was the assistant director of the Malcolm X Youth Center, which was a GED, Job Placement Center for Youth ages 16 to 21 in West Baltimore, Park Heights area. I have to say we were number one for GED at job attainment.
Right.
So that was a major deal to me. So I wanted to remain in a service-based industry. Mm-hmm. So for mortgages, I've taken the service-based aspect and understand the number one rule in business is to be a servant. So that humility, serving clients is important to me. Educating and taking that role is what I stand for.
And he's not Thank lying. He does, you know, work to serve his clients. You know, emails late at night, calling you whenever you need, answering calls. He did get a little bougie on me one time. I called his assistant, picked up the phone, was like, Steven's currently in a meeting, Chris. How can I help you? I was like, okay.
Well, it was still him in contact. You didn't get a voice.
It was. I didn't get a proxy. I didn't get all that. Steve actually set up a call center at one point. Like, wow. We'll get into that. We'll get into how he was helping people get out of the mortgages, bad mortgages and everything after the crisis. But, Jay, do you want to quiz him a little bit, see if he knows what he's talking about?
Okay.
So, Steve.
Yes, sir.
What is one of the biggest obstacles in people purchasing a home?
I would have to say credit, and the knowledge of understanding credit typically hurts people. People, when they clean their credit, they don't do it properly. So a lot of times they're applying money in places where it's not necessary, and they're meeting with first a realtor when they want to buy a house instead of a mortgage professional. Mm-hmm. So I would say credit is the number one challenge.
So let's stop there.
Mm-hmm.
So credit. What score is needed to buy a home?
Well, minimum score needed, I would say, is a 580, and there's a caveat with that.
Okay.
For an individual that has assets, say if they have a 401k, 403b, thrift savings, or something of that nature, or just checking in savings, and they have the money that's needed, we can get an approval for an FHA loan down to a 580 credit score.
So what kind of credit score? Because there are a lot of different types of credit scores mm-hmm. these days. So what kind of credit score? What kind of 580?
That's a great question. That's a great question
there's
because
different types of
there's yes, different there's different kind of score models.
Oh,
look at Jada.
I am a credit
You understand,
beast.
Steve. Jada has, like, did her due diligence and, yes. like, just worked to develop an understanding of credit, make sure that it works for her in all these different capacities. Like, she gets alerts like, oh, my God, what happened? It's fraud on my card.
Fraud I on booked my a card. Vacation and my score went down 2 points. And also, maybe you can get into why TransUnion is just so ridiculous.
The worst.
Yeah, so the first question is, that you asked is what kind of credit. So it is going to be a mortgage-based credit score. If you're going to purchase a car, there's a different score model that's used by car industry standards than it is for mortgage-based standards. Also, for people that use credit check total or credit karma, things of that nature, that's a different score model mm-hmm. than it is for a mortgage-based credit report.
Okay.
So sometimes people are misled to say, well, Credit Karma says my score is this. Mm-hmm. When we pull a mortgage-based credit report, it's different. So we can't use that consumer credit as a guide. It's an idea, mm-hmm. but I would say Credit Karma is typically about 20 points higher mm-hmm. than what a mortgage-based credit report is. Mm-hmm. Second question you asked is why the variations in scores. Different creditors choose which credit reporting agency to report to, whether it's TransUnion, Equifax, or Experian, because there's a cost for the creditor to report to the agency.
Okay.
They choose whether they're going to report, which causes variations because some companies only report into different repositories.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So to burst Jada's bubble, when she's actually looking at her score on this thing, it actually may be lower than what she thinks.
Correct.
So it is. Jada is actually a member of several different credits.
No, I just wanted to be facetious and mess with it because she's looking at it like, yeah, it is.
I get alerts from like five different companies for like different types of credit scores.
But, I open the Bible and then I open the credit.
There you go. Here we go.
What I don't want people to do is get so caught up in that though, because it can definitely have you paranoid and run your life. And understand once you know the range that you're in, kind of live in that range. My advice to everyone is, here's a tip for everyone. I want them to take their credit cards out. I want them to call the number on the back of their credit cards, and I want them to ask.
The international number or the U.S. number?
The U.S. number, that 1-800 number. And ask customer service, when is that creditor going to report to credit? Very important. Mm-hmm. And then you take a piece of tape, and on the back of your card, you put that date on your card. And you also want to find out what is your high credit limit. And then I want you to multiply your high credit limit by 0.20 and also write that number on the back of your card as well. Mm-hmm. So that you know at any point in time before that card is reporting to credit to make sure to always pay down your balances to below 20% of the high credit limit and allow that to remain as your balance. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have emergencies. So if you have an emergency, you have to use your card, fine. But you know by this date, I need to pay down the card to 20% of the high credit limit, and that will keep your credit score pristine. Mm.
So she wants to take notes.
Can I use your notepad,
Steve? She has all black notepad. Steve, do you have a notepad to match your outfits as well?
That's my daily notepad. I always try to have something on the daily one.
So if you wear a blue suit, you don't have a blue notepad?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. So we want to keep our credits, our balance below 20% of what the credit line is, correct?
Correct, at all times.
So credit, they don't report to the credit bureaus upon the due date when I pay. If they give my 10-day grace period, I wait till day 9 and a half and pay.
I'm sure each creditor reports after the grace period, but we want to know the exact date, you know, because obviously everyone's not as astute as you to do that math and do that knowledge. You know, you're on top of your credit and definitely you're an informed consumer. But we have a lot of people that we need to take them the most basic route possible. And that exercise will put you in a position where you are monitoring your spending. You know, you're going to start doing some self-evaluation to say, let me not spend money on this. Let me make coffee at home for the day. Mm-hmm. Let me bring the fruit to work and eat that instead of purchasing Dunkin' Donuts.
Actually, Archie just had a moment like that when the BG&E bill kicked in. Because Ashley's now living in, you know,
in
she obviously, she's living in a house by herself. And she caught the summer months of BG&E.
Yes.
It was like pretty cool. And she had some air conditioning malfunction that wasn't allow her unit to run and run the bill up like it was supposed to.
Premature celebration.
And then she got hit with this BG&E bill and she was like, yeah, I'm just going to sit inside this weekend. Yo, I think she faked the sickness on Christmas, so she would not have to come out. And then I think she just bought me a Christmas gift today. I was like, how convenient to buy me a gift after January 15th.
Don't do that.
When all the sales are going on.
I actually bought it on Christmas Eve. Oh, okay. However, BG
no
got real.
That's for receipts, Chris.
I'm just asking.
BG got real.
I'm just asking. So, Steve, as far as credit, most people would just go and say, and you've helped me with this, when I'm trying to prepare to buy a home, you'll pull like DTR credit scores and say, hey, here's what your score is now. Here's what you need to pay. Pay these things down to this, that, and the third, and then we can rescore you and get you well.
Absolutely.
Now, most people, they're like, oh my God, I just need to pay everything. And I told Jada, I used your advice. Jada was like, no, I'm just paying everything, yada, 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 yada.
I don't like to have a bill. I pay all bills on time.
And I'm a slow roll.
That I get them.
And I'm a slow roll. I'm from the Alameda, right?
Oh, my God.
And we ain't used to having money like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep my money. I'm going to give it all to you. Yeah, I'm going to keep it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to allow me to pay over the course of time? I'm going to pay over the course. If you sell me a pencil and say I can pay over the course of 2 months.
He's ridiculous.
I will pay over the course of 2 months for that pencil. Because I would rather have cash on hand that I could be a little bit more liquid to make other moves that I need to. You know what I'm saying?
But you
so I was telling Jada, like, hey.
Enough credit, too.
Yes. Yes.
For that emergency that Steve is talking about.
But certain investments you can't buy with credit. You know
That's
what I'm saying?
Very true. Yes.
So I always want to stay liquid to a certain capacity.
Correct.
So I was telling Jada. Jada was like, nope, I'm paying this off, paying this. I'm like, yo, pay this, slow roll this. Are they coming for you? Nah, don't worry about them, Danders. I was like, just slow roll, pay the payment, you know what I'm saying? Get it down. And then here's the ones that you should pay, you know what I'm saying? So Talk to people about that, because most people have that perspective, and most people have, they may feel like, yo, my score is 550 or 580, and I don't have those assets. Like, are they completely screwed in the whole credit component, or what? Talk about what you can do to help them.
It's a process. So, you know, we have to be diligent, and what you're saying is true, that cash is king, and liquidity is important, because you need to have reserves at any point in time, depending if something's going to happen. But on the flip side, what Jade is saying is correct as well. You don't want to be overextended in your credit. So utilizing that 20% number allows you to achieve both goals, where we can pay things down till we get to that point. We also can build liquidity through savings. You know, so taking a portion of your money, putting it to the side for rainy days, putting it in online banking accounts. Like Ally is a great online banking account that has better returns than you're going to get from any sort of institution. You can transfer money very easily to that account. And since it's not something that you have access to, you don't have to request a card. That's money that can stay that you're not necessarily looking at. You know, so we create other vehicles and tools for you to have savings and have reserves, but using a blend of both. So using that 20% number. Now, a Rush card is not going to give you that interest rate return that you're going to get from an Ally, but for people that do need, you know, instead of cash, using check cashing institutions, I would say yes, that would be something that's better. But I'm going to advise everybody to open up a bank account, because obviously bank institutions are important. And for individuals that are paying rent, we do not accept money orders as proof of rental payments. You know, so unless you're renting from an institutional property management company, you're going to want to use checks. This is why having a bank account is extremely important for tracking purposes.
Okay. So speaking of, while we're on credit, is there, what else is, Jay, do you got some more credit questions?
No, not yet. I'll ask after the mic's up.
So I can have a 580 credit score and buy $1 million home? If you say, is what you're saying?
Well, no, because 580 credit score, we're going to be using that with an FHA loan, which we have maximum lending limits. Okay. 615.5 is the maximum lending limit for the actual loan amount for an FHA loan.
Jumbo?
That is an FHA jumbo. So we're going to be capped at that maximum amount for a loan, but you can purchase a very large home with a low credit score.
So what is the most ideal score if I don't have a great, if my DTI, you know, considering that, if I don't just knock it out the park on income compared to my bills, what's a good credit score that, you know, is typically what you look for?
So good credit score is considered a 680 score.
Okay.
Median credit score is going to be considered a 660. Okay. Anything below that 660 range, 640 is considered an average score, and below 640 is typically considered poor. So even individuals with poor credit scores were able to help. What I like to do, if we engage somebody with a lower credit score, throughout the process, I'm going to give them the tools so that they can improve the credit. And then as we're in the loan process, we repull the credit, we see the score increase, and then we can offer them a better rate. So I had that happen last night. We're looking at a file that, due to the score, the system, which is DU, there's two major systems that buy loans, secondary investors on the market, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. DU was Fannie Mae's system. Through running DU, the file was calling for reserves. So it wanted to see the cash to close, plus it wanted 2 months of the mortgage payment in reserves. I have been working with the individual to improve their credit score. I felt now was the time to pull credit. I repulled the credit last night at around 10 o'clock at night. Last night I was still in the office. We saw the score increase.
I was still in the office too.
And I appreciate that. That's right.
And I saw
the score increase. So today, this morning, we're able to drop our interest rate by 0.25%. And that's a huge savings over 30 years. So we're going to pass the savings along to the client. And it really made me feel good to make that phone call this morning.
That's awesome. So if you hear me snacking in the back, I am on
Eat to Live,
a pescatarian, but fruit and veggies diet and one protein a day. Maybe we need to have a health specialist come on and talk to us about our eating.
It's a great idea.
It is a wellness center. So I think that would be good to talk about things holistically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But so, Steve, I feel like we accomplished the credit situation, right? Now, something else that may hold people back are maybe tax issues, right?
Correct.
But you, being a mortgage guy, can work around that.
Absolutely. So here's the stats with taxes. Please, individuals that owe taxes, do not think that you can't purchase a home. Like anything else, they do have to be addressed, and addressed how? If you have a payment plan for a tax lien, whether it be state or federal, and we have three consecutive payments, meaning three payments made month after month for 3 months, you can move forward and purchase a home. Now, we do factor in that payment into your debt-to-income ratio, but you're still able to move forward with a tax lien as long as there's a payment plan. So like anything else, you must address it. Like student loans, you
but
must address
doesn't
it.
That tax lien sometimes still hurt your credit score? So it's like if you pay in your, if you have a lien or if you have a payment plan, but it still may affect my credit score. So it's like I'm doing one well, but I'm still being messed up on the other.
That's a great point to make up or to bring up. I'm sorry. So yes, that is a negative derogatory thing on the credit, which does affect the score. But the positive activity with keeping those revolving trade lines, revolving balances below 20% has more of an impact than that negative balance of the tax lien. Also, there is a misconception that paying off negative items or collection items on the credit will increase your score. It will not. So what it does is stop.
Hold on. Say that again.
There is a misconception that paying off collections or negative items on your credit report will increase your score. And the answer is it will not. What it will do is stop your score from decreasing. Mm. So the negative items drag down your score.
In the face.
Right? In the face. Yeah. We over here having a stare off. I'm looking at Jay like, told you so. And then you came back like, in the face. And she's like, wrong.
So you're both right. Mm-hmm. So paying off the negative items is going to stop the score from decreasing, but it will not increase the score. The positive activity is the only thing that actually increases the score. So by settling those items, you stop that drag down, and by doing positive activities, you allow the score to increase.
So one stops the bleeding, the other helps rebuild.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
And you great can also analogy. Stop them from reselling it to someone else. From selling your bad debt to someone else and then hitting your credit score.
Again. Because that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because sometimes you're in collection and then they are unsuccessful because you see an 800 number call and you're not picking it up. Mm-hmm. She don't live here.
And new then phone, who this?
They sell it to somebody else and then they call and then now you got hit again from another collection agency.
Correct. So things too with collection, you can dispute items. You can do disputes on your own. You can log into TransUnions.
You get a trap phone and don't have to worry about them getting your number at all.
Well, we want to have things that we have plans on where we can track payments because that's alternative credit, which can be used in certain situations as well. So we want to try to do plans. We want to stay away from minute phones. Credit is the responsibility to pay things back. Judging the responsibility to pay something back is what credit is. So we want things that we make monthly payments on and we can track that we pay it on time because it shows that we're responsible for bigger obligations like loans.
So I think we're going to move past this credit part and the tax part, right? From what we're saying is that if you have awesome credit, awesome. However, if you don't, there's a way. It's not over. It just may be a process.
Absolutely.
And when you can come meet with you, discuss the process. So I might not get approved tomorrow or next month, but I might have a six-month plan to get approved or a yearly plan to get approved.
Absolutely.
Awesome. You good?
Yeah, I'm so we can, fantastic.
Do you feel like he knew what he was talking about as it relates to that one?
I think I'm a mortgage expert. I'm just listening to what Steve has to say, and I realize I've done my due diligence, but I'll still give him a call.
And if I could say one thing about taxes, right now it's tax season. Uh-huh. So I'm going to encourage everybody out there who's receiving a refund
to
right
claim
now.
Claim everybody you can.
Set aside that money for home ownership and understand that we can change the dynamics. You are not receiving a tax write-off for paying rent. You do receive a tax write-off for becoming a homeowner. You're writing off that mortgage interest. This is truly what home ownership is all about. So look at the dynamics of that refund that you're receiving this year. Imagine if you were writing off the interest on your home, your refund would double. We're going to take some of that refund. We're going to use that to pay down on the principal balance of the loan. We're going to pay off your home 7 years earlier. We're going to create a savings account. We're going to build wealth. We're going to build legacy. Come and talk to me. Come, let's have this conversation.
Come and talk to Steve.
Let's change. Come and talk,
name.
Please do, because I'm excited about this. As you can see, I'm passionate about this.
Yeah.
This is how we create change. It's through home ownership, and this is how we take over and own our own communities.
So, Steve, being that you segued to the tax benefits, talk about the tax benefits versus renting versus owning.
Sure. So,
and the benefits, and I mean, not just the tax benefits, but all the benefits.
Sure.
Ashley could talk about some of the woes.
It's all beneficial. Yes, this is a responsibility. Now you have to take care of for yourself. But obviously, it is truly beneficial because there's ownership in something. So the interest that you pay on your mortgage for the first 5 years of paying your mortgage payment is predominantly interest. That interest is tax deductible. You're able to write that off on your taxes. So we can do a small example. If your mortgage payment, for example, is around $1,500 a month, the principal and interest payment out of that $1,500 may be, let's say $1,000. And the rest is homeowners insurance, property taxes, as well as mortgage insurance.
Yes, it is.
The interest on that may be, let's say, $900. Multiply $900 times 12, and that is your tax write-off at the end of the year. So that's huge. I mean, that changes the dynamics for people where they can either wait for that refund to come in, they can change their exemptions that they're having from work and
so
bring home more money on a monthly basis.
$10,800 back?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I'll get back that whole. So Ash, how long have you owned your home?
Since June. So
they look like buddies right here. Like we're one mic short. So Jada and Ashley have to have like
hugged up. All I need is one mic.
So Ash, how long have you been in your home?
Since June.
So June. So Ash, how does that work? She rented. She was renting before,
mm-hmm.
And then now she owns for the last 6 months. So how does that work from a tax benefit for her?
So actually, it's 7 months. So she's going to be receiving a mortgage interest statement. Well, it is 6 months because you skipped a month of payment. Also, when you close, you skip a month of payment. So okay. You don't begin paying your mortgage as soon as you close. You have a month off. So
after I put up all that money, I get a free month off.
You have a month off to actually get acclimated to home ownership.
Okay.
You know, we know that you're going to have new expenses like furniture,
Comcast,
you know, various things for your house.
Is Comcast going to be 1 month free as well?
No. Unfortunately not.
Never.
Unfortunately.
An air conditioner that goes out.
Unfortunately not. But yes, you do have that month off, and that interest for those 6 months, again, she's going to receive a mortgage interest coupon statement, which with her tax preparer, she'll provide that to them, and they'll write that off on the taxes. Also, from home ownership, there's other benefits. If you have an LLC or a small business, you can write off a portion of your home for home office space use.
Yes, you can.
You can write off other expenses.
That would require that you actually work at home, right, in some capacity.
That would require that you have an LLC.
So
you do
Ashley
some sort of work from home. You
that.
Have a home office or something of that nature.
She doesn't do any work at home. She only is 9 to 5, 40
yes,
hours
always.
A week.
Yes, always, 40 hours a week. Nothing more, nothing less.
I'm sure she's
on
burning midnight oil. I'm sure she is. And
we've
talked many times throughout the mortgage process,
yeah,
and she was working late at night
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
so
she's a rock star.
A portion of that can be written off as well. So speak to your tax preparer. You like to stay in my lane, but your tax preparer can better help you to extract as many benefits as possible from home ownership.
So what about the people that feel like Ashley, single woman, home by herself, no shade. That was not shade, Ashley. I know I throw shade a lot about that.
Single by choice, Ashley.
Absolutely.
But so single woman, own her own home, right? Some people may say, I don't want to deal with the headaches that it comes with home ownership. Ash, talk about your experience with the air conditioning and then your bird and your chimney and all that.
Oh my gosh, nothing never ceases. So I actually had an amazing experience buying it. I don't think it was until after I got into the house that was like, here comes everything. No, my air conditioning kicked the day I moved in.
Wow.
And praise God for a home warranty that helped me pay for it. But, I mean, I was out of air conditioning in the dead middle of summer for 3 months. For 3 weeks, I'm sorry.
So with that being, you were responsible.
And a bird in my chimney that I was terrified of. Yeah.
So you were.
A bird.
She was like, Chris, can you come
Chris
over and help me?
I was scared
with
of the bird too.
I said, I'm scared of the bird too. Turn the chimney on and smoke them out. Turn the fireplace on and smoke them out.
Whatever.
She was like, but what if
you
find out
in the middle
flea?
Of the night because of scratching and you don't know where it's coming from?
That's scary.
I can't believe you were going to resort to bird murder. Though.
I was going to murder the bird.
Yeah.
The bird better be glad it decided to leave.
Did he leave?
After like 3 days. I'm happy.
He left somewhere.
He's quiet.
He went to the next life.
Where he's at. Well, he's quiet.
So Ash, how is that though from a renter's perspective? Because there are some good from a renter versus owner perspective. Mm-hmm. There are some good benefits of it, but then there are also headaches. When you were in your rental, you didn't have to do none of this stuff.
I didn't
stuff.
Have to worry about anything. But I will say, like sometimes I kind of just sit back and say, "Wow, like this is my house. Mm. Like this is my house. This feels good." Like, sometimes I look around like, wow. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not even the financial gains. It's like, this feels good. I did this. Like, who knew that by 30 I would own my own home?
Mm-hmm.
Who,
yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just not one of the things that you think about.
Mm-hmm.
And especially whenever, I mean, we've talked about the issues that you can face, the positives, but sometimes it's just the furthest thing from your mind. And then I thought about, you know, my student loans, for example, was my biggest. I told Steve it was my
she
biggest.
She tells everybody
like,
about these student loans.
I don't think I can ever buy a house because of my student loans. But, like, we got through it.
So, yeah, where were I going with my question?
I don't know. That was so beautiful. I almost teared up.
I know, right?
Can I jump in about the student loan piece? So the student loan piece is something that I would say most of the young professionals are laden and faced with student loans. You spend, you know, 4 years plus, or maybe even 8 years going to college, only to better yourself to now.
Jay McCray's like, well, because actually, I've only done four years of undergrad, 1 year of master's. I mean, but everybody's not Jay McCray.
You know, but to now be, because of lending standards and how things have changed as of recent, to have student loans become an obstacle. What we've done is we've tapped into Fannie Mae's Home Ready program.
And did you like delete student loan debts when you tapped into that?
Unfortunately not. No. But we're able to do one of two things.
Like, how can they hack Hillary but not Fannie Mae? Like, yo, Russia, if you're listening, get Fannie Mae.
Oh my gosh.
We do a combination.
Do you not agree with that? Right. Do I co-sign it or something?
This is not, the views news of this statement does not represent BTST services or any of its outpatient services.
Somebody always.
I'm just kidding.
But what we've done is there's two different strategies that we use for student loans. A is we look at the income-based repayment if someone is on income-based repayment. And with Fannie Mae's Home Ready program, it allows us to use that monthly payment that's listed for income-based repayment. So we see if it works with that. Also, we look at possible student loan consolidation. If you're now in a period of repayment, we look at consolidating student loans because the amount of the student loans will determine the amortization or how long the student loans are spread out over. So instead of having each individual student loan calculated at a 10-year repayment, from consolidation, it allows us to calculate it at a 30-year repayment. Now, that payment on the total of the student loans over 30 years is less than each individual loan at a 10-year repayment schedule. I know it's a lot of information. But basically,
I was about to say, whatever you said sounds good. I might have to go back and listen to the podcast just to catch it.
Right, and then we enter into a standard repayment strategy for the student loan. Purchase the home, and then go back to income-based repayment. So all that said is we work together on a case-by-case scenario utilizing existing mortgage programs that are out there and my knowledge base to see what the best scenario is for you and how to tackle student loans, speaking of student loans as well. We just rolled out a doctor program. So for doctors that have student loans that are deferred for 24 months or more.
Jada, I can benefit from this too.
Yes. So true doctors, though. You have to be a medical doctor or dentist.
I would just impersonate our psychiatrist is a doctor. And we always mess around with Dr. Boy. And she was on the podcast. And I was just messing around with her. That's how she talks, like, Jada. But so, Ash, before we move, because we're going to start picking up the pace a little bit.
Okay.
What were some of your thoughts or myths or hesitancies about home ownership before, because you might have thought, hey, I can't do this outside of the student loan?
Just financially, like having the money that I needed saved and not shopping with it to daily life, to be able to even afford the down payment. It was myths about everything exists, and like who can save up, 20% of a loan and be able to put $50,000 down on a house, and I'm a social worker. That's not necessarily what I feel like my life is about right now. However, there were options out there. Like, I do have an FHA loan, for example, where I only had to put down 3.5%. And Steve is right. Like, it was a lot of education for me whenever I was going through this process, and it was very empowering at the same time because it was like, oh, you can't afford to do this.
Yeah.
You can.
So, Steve, one of the things is that people think that, hey, I just got a job, I haven't been on my job long enough, or I'm just getting out of school, or, can I buy a home? I'm 1099 versus W-2. Like, talk about that whole, how long you got to be on the job if I was 1099,
keep
if I'm W-2, whatever,
Every 10 days.
If I didn't make that much money the year before, I know I'm giving you a whole bunch. If I didn't make that much money the year before, but now I got a little raise and I think I want to explore this. Talk to people about that job perspective.
So let's talk about first the students. So an individual who was in school, graduating, we're actually doing a symposium at Morgan State University, working with that graduating class to prepare them for home ownership. Because
and
if
where?
Morgan State, which I know you're alum. You're an alum as well.
I'm not just alum, Steve. I am the president
of the
National Alumni Association for the School of Social Work.
Talk about it. That's right. That's right. I'm sorry, brother. Let's acknowledge this. Now's the title.
If I'm going to get your title right, you're going to get mine right.
That's right. That's right. I apologize. But for individuals who are students and who are graduating, as long, and even if you're not in college, even if you're in some sort of training class or something of that nature, if you are going through an educational period of time and you receive a degree and we can show the transcripts when you're in school and you have an offer letter, we can close your loan as soon as you receive your first pay stub.
Oh, wow.
So you can walk out of college and walk into a home. You know, and this is truly what it's about. And I'm sure parents and family members would advocate for home ownership on that kind of level, but this is what we're about. We're about empowering people to make that smooth transition out of, you know, out of college or out of that educational sort of resource into a home. And empowering them in that direction. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go.
There was another question that you asked about pay increases and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you treat that? Say if you have an individual who was hourly, and they've been working with BTST for years in the hourly capacity. You know, they showed improve, and now they become a salary employee. We can use that salary letter now, and that salary letter becomes the total income, and they can qualify. So we're not even going to take into account that previous hourly rate. Mm-hmm. That they were receiving, we're going to use that salary letter and the new salary to now qualify them.
How long does someone have to be on the job?
Depending on the situation. So you don't have to work the same job for a 2-year period of time. We just need 2 years of employment period. And if there's a gap, you cannot have a gap longer than 6 months. So if the gap extends 6 months, then we need to go back another year to compensate for that gap. So we have to always account for 2 years of employment.
Now, does my employment have to be within the same field?
Not necessarily. You just have to be employed, and we can kind of always advocate and explain to the underwriter that they switched industries, but not necessarily have to be in the same. That's a myth. Everybody feels it has to be in the same industry. Not necessarily.
So if I started a new job, but I was working somewhere else before, and I'm looking at somebody right now because they're going to buy some homes soon. I started a new job. Is there a time period I have to be on this new job for me to qualify?
No. So we're going to use it, and it depends if they're hourly and or
salary.
So if they're a salaried individual, then the answer is no. If they're hourly, then understand we're going to be averaging their income from their start date up until their year to date. So we're going to take that hourly, if it's 40 hours a week that they work, we're going to average that out. Hopefully it is 40 hours, even if they're hourly, and average it out from the start date until the qualification date.
So Jada McCrazy, actually. Now that name is Jada just celebrated her 10-year anniversary. So she
congratulations. Let's clap it up.
Vow renewal. Yes.
Clap it up for that. Wonderful, handsome husband. That's right.
So she celebrated 10 years, and she had this drink there called McCrazy. You know what I'm saying? It was very good. But everybody hasn't been with somebody 10 years, or they're contemplating being married. You know what I mean? So if we're married, we just got married, we're engaged, and we want to now buy a home, how does it work from just being one person, as Ashley?
It's a great question.
My choice. Thank you, Jada.
Being single like Ashley to people that are now married together. How does that work?
That is a great, wonderful question.
Of course,
here's what I advise.
Steve, I asked
great it. Question. Great, and I'm glad you brought that up. So if one of the spouses can qualify for their purchase by themselves, I want to repeat, if one of the spouses can income qualify for the purchase by themselves, and it's not necessary to have the other spouse on that mortgage, do not unnecessarily tie up that person's debt. Understand that you are married. So anything purchased while people are married, Maryland is a marital property state. So anything purchased while people are married belongs to the other person, regardless if they're on the deed, regardless on the title or not. So you don't have to worry about
ownership. Speaking very aggressively right now, bro. Do you have some, where is that passion
coming from? Well, the reason I'm so passionate about that is because oftentimes another spouse will feel like,
she can take it, they can do this, they just let them do anything they want.
Well, no, another spouse may feel like you need to have that other person on the debt with you because you want to say that person is equally as responsible. But why tie up that other person? This frees up your spouse to purchase investment property. You know, frees up your spouse to maybe purchase a second home. Again, we want to look at a holistic level to lending and quality of life on a whole level. So we need to start thinking like that. So don't unnecessarily tie up the spouse in the transaction if not necessary.
So that makes sense from being more liquid and having more credit to spend elsewhere.
Correct.
What if you just have a brother or sister that's gone through some difficulties at life, robbed Peter to pay Paul, school wasn't the best? Can you still get the mortgage done with one person? Or is there any tricks that, hey, I need that income put together to make it happen? How do you work through that?
So we use the lower of two mid scores when we're gauging a transaction. So understand, if you're bringing somebody with a lower score, you're also bringing their debt into the situation as well. So we have to be conscious of that. And we also have options of, if it's not going to benefit us, putting the spouse on the loan. We have what's called a non-occupant co-borrower, which we can do with FHA as well as conventional loans. So you can actually put a co-borrower on the loan, like a mom or dad or something of that nature, even if they already have an FHA loan.
Wow.
They can also be a non-occupant co-borrower and still help you to qualify. And we're doing those transactions as well, where mom already owns a home. She has an FHA loan. We have a husband and wife couple purchasing. The husband has the better score. Wife does not have the score to qualify, so we would just be bringing over her debt, and that's not going to benefit the situation. We're bringing mom in as a non-occupant co-borrower. And after 12 months of making the payments, even if mom wanted to purchase an investment property, that co-signed home would not be held against her.
Wow.
Correct.
That's amazing.
Correct.
So I can use my mama credit.
You can use mom's income and credit to help you qualify for a purchase.
It's reparation, because my mother put me on her credit card, her BG&E bill, and my name before. So mine is coming back to you. No, I'm just kidding.
That was a cable bill in 1985.
Yeah. That messed up my credit score.
A lingering
back
bill.
No. So, Steve, Jay, do you have some questions? Or you want me to just keep moving?
No, I'm so, like, this is
the... Jada's usually not this speechless, bro. I'm trying to tell you.
This is amazing. Like, I'm soaking all of this up. Ashley and I are literally taking notes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So Ash mentioned something about down payment and closing costs, money for that, because that money, having that savings is like, hey, I'm working, I'm putting money in my savings. It's hard for me to get up to this amount. And then if I get up to this amount, I don't want to give it all away just on a home. Mm-hmm. And then now something goes up and I not have the money for it.
Accurate.
Correct.
Facts. I will take this moment to insert, I told Ash, hey, you want to make sure that you don't spend all this. You want to save this, because when you get in the home, something could happen, this, that, and the third, and you still need to be able to buy furniture, move around respectfully, right?
Right.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
I did it. Yes, you're welcome. but no, Steve, talk about the how much is needed for down payment. How do you? How much is needed for closing costs, and how we can manipulate in a positive way or work around these things in some capacity?
So, you know, we have government lending. Government lending is inclusive of FHA as well as VA and USDA lending. With FHA lending, the down payment is 3.5% of the sales price, and the seller can give up to 6% of the sales price towards closing. So in an FHA scenario, if the seller is giving 6%, which is rare these days because of the market, but if the seller is giving 6%, essentially you can come to the table with only 3.5% of the sales price of the home. Conventional lending, we have a couple different options. We have Home Ready, we have Home Possible, and these are for first-time home buyers that goes up to 97% financing. So the down payment in that instance is 3%.
Wow.
Also, with Home Ready and Home Possible lending, you can do what's called lender-paid mortgage insurance. So there is no mortgage insurance in the actual monthly payment.
Is that PMI?
Correct, that's PMI. But there is no mortgage insurance in an actual payment, but it does increase the rate.
Okay.
And then the maximum seller concession with that is 3%. So you'd have to have another 3% out of pocket, because closing costs are typically around 5 to 6%. So you have a down payment of 3% and another 3% towards closing. So you need about 6% total for that Home Ready or Home Possible program to have saved.
So basically, if I'm buying a $100,000 house, I need at least $6,000.
$6,000 for a Home Ready or Home Possible scenario.
Okay, so
correct.
I'm sorry.
And then the last, not the last, but another lending product is VA loans. So for any veteran, anyone who's active military, reservist, or out of the military, they have the possibility to take advantage of a VA loan, which is 100% financing, no monthly mortgage insurance, and 6% seller concession. So veterans are actually able to purchase homes with typically no money out of pocket.
Wow.
What about credit for some
of our veterans? Credit scores down to 600 for VA loans. Most of your lending institutions are going to require you to have a 640. Again, we try to meet people where they're at.
Okay. So I don't know if you said this. I tapped out for just a sec. I'm sorry. But there are programs that I can get first-time home buyers money from?
Correct.
Did
so
you say that already?
I did not speak on that. Thank you for bringing that up.
I was grabbing my fruit. I'm
sorry. Oh, no, you're definitely on point, Mr. Simon. So we have Living in Where You Work program, which is not income-based. So anyone working for a participating employer in Baltimore City from the Living in Where You Work program can take advantage of that. You would access www.livebaltimore.com for further information on that, or our website, www.approveusnow.com for additional information. You also have the Block Grant, which is income-based, and it's income, household income-based. So they're looking at the total amount of people that are in your house, children included, husband and or wife, even if they're not on a loan, their income is also considered. That program gives up to $5,000 towards home purchase. That's one of the resources. You have vacant the value. So we have investors who are revitalizing the city as we speak. That's big in Baltimore. Everyone knows you see new construction going on all over the place. For those properties that have been previously deemed vacant for a year prior to the construction, the city is giving you $10,000 towards closing. And there's several other different programs that are income-based. You qualify as well.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to the investment part. But while we're still here at the qualification part and all that other stuff.
Sure.
How do I calculate how much house I can afford?
So we like to do an exercise. We don't want to see an individual's house rich and cash poor. So you're typically totaling up all your monthly payments that you have on all your revolving debts.
Now, is it the monthly payments I actually make or the monthly payments that I'm responsible to make?
The monthly payments you're actually responsible to make. So the minimum payment as listed on the credit report.
Okay.
Right? So the threshold.
So if it ain't on a credit report, I ain't responsible for it.
Well, that's not necessarily the case. From a mortgage perspective,
I might owe my homeboy $50, and you know what I mean?
So that's true to a certain extent, but people have judgments and things of that nature that necessarily don't show on credit.
Okay.
But through the mortgage process, we do what's called a title search.
Okay.
And title is running a search on an individual. And if there's a judgment that exists that's not on the credit report that's still there, you will have to face and pay the piper and address that issue.
All right.
So even if it's not on the credit report and you know that you owe it, let's do the human thing and address it. But your question was, again, take me back.
How do I calculate how much house I can afford?
Thank you.
So that I can still go to Maryland Casino, Maryland Live. You know, people. This is people's stuff. They want to still go gamble. They still want to shop. They want to figure out how much. Because I don't.
Body life is important.
What I don't want for people is to be house rich and pocket poor. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So how do I calculate how much house I can afford?
What we're going to do is take your total debt or your monthly payments that you're paying on a monthly basis versus the home payment. Right. And add that together. And then we're going to compare that to your income. So your monthly expenditures on all your revolving debt, including the home purchase, should not exceed typically 43% of your total income. And we're looking at gross. We're not looking at net. So if you know we're looking at gross, you know, real life net is different than gross, then you may even want to be below that number for yourself. Now, we do have the ability as an institution to go up to 55%. Debt-to-income ratio, possibly 56, which is extremely high. But when doing that, I'm having a conversation with the clients to say, you understand, you're pushing this way over the maximum threshold that
so
most of
these setting people up.
No. We're going to have that conversation. And when I'm doing that, I'm looking at the fact that, okay, we do have a husband or boyfriend that is not necessarily on the mortgage, so you do have additional income coming in from that. Okay, we do have side jobs that you do work that we're not necessarily including in the mortgage transaction, but I know that you have that additional income. So we're going to have that conversation with an individual, or they may have a boarder that's going to be living in the house that we can't necessarily use the boarder income to qualify them. But we're going to have that real-life conversation, again, because we're doing mortgages for people that we're going to see in church. We're going to see them in the gym. We're going to see them in the supermarket. We're going to see them in the community. You know, we live, work, and play with our clients. So it's important that we address all aspects, you know, so we're looking for longevity.
Dignity and respect.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So I think we tackled home ownership from, I think we tackled credit, income, from all of that stuff. So if I already own a home, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the rate that I got before, or like when the financial crisis hit, people lost a lot of value in their houses and stuff. Or you got older people that want to do like reverse mortgages and all that stuff. Like I seen you set up a call center and was like, I'm going at it. I'm sending out mailers. I got call centers. I'm getting at it. What type of programming and or opportunities do you have for them?
So for individuals that want to refinance, obviously you can always give us a call, 410-695-3547. My personal extension is 102. Business Mobile, I give it out, 410-913-4726. Email Stephen, Stephen, at FDM, as in mortgagehome.com. So you can reach out. We can take a look. We're going to make sure that there's equity in the property. If you have an FHA loan, we can do a no closing cost streamline and drop your rate. And that is if rates are allowing that to happen. FHA states there must be a maximum savings of 5%. So rates have increased, unfortunately, from last year, where rates are steadily climbing right now, which is one of the reasons I'm encouraging people to get in now, get in a 30-year fixed rate, know that you're going to be secured, and Lord willing, rates do drop, we can do that no closing cost streamline.
So since we're talking education, you said a keyword, 30-year fix, and that was one of the issues that was impacting the mortgage bubble and stuff like that. Explain the difference between fixed and ARM and all this other stuff.
Correct. So fixed rate is fixed for the life of the loan. So you have that security knowing that every single month, your principal and interest payment, which never is going to change, is going to be just that, over 30 years of the life of the loan. You can do shorter term mortgages, 15 year, 10 year. There's other terms that are available for your mortgage, but your payment is fixed over that term. Now, adjustable rate mortgages mean that your payment is only fixed or your rate is only fixed for a certain period of time. And then it starts adjusting, and it adjusts according to what the market is doing. So in an instance like right now where the stock market is doing well, for an individual with an adjustable rate mortgage that's already adjusted, they're not seeing too much variance in their rate. So actually their rate is right around the same as what they locked in because the stock market is doing very well. What happens is when the stock market actually crashes, that's when they're going to see that influx in their rate because they're an adjustable rate mortgage. And that's how we got in trouble before.
So preferably, it's best to be in a fixed mortgage.
We only would have a conversation with a client about an adjustable rate mortgage if they're an investor. Because an investor may be holding that loan for a short period of time where, you know, they're looking to flip out the property and or, you know, it's a short-term investment. So they may take advantage of some sort of adjustable rate mortgage. But if you are a homeowner, there's no reason for you to look at any sort of adjustable rate mortgage. The savings is so minimal that to take that risk for that minimal savings is not going to be advantageous.
Gotcha. That was one of my words, actually. But you're getting good at this because you help segue us right into our next section about investment opportunities.
Absolutely.
As far as home ownership. Now, we had Marco here the last time was talking about flipping homes and, like, buying homes without cash or credit and, like, selling a contract over to someone else. But a lot of us only think about home ownership from – I mean, think about real estate is from a home ownership perspective, mm-hmm. and this is where I'm going to live and raise my kids. I'm going to get the picket fence, and, you know, it's just going to be where we sleep. But there's a whole other side of this thing, which is how we generate wealth, how you can become an investor, how you can flip homes or you can hold. So talk about all of that, what programs you have, and what's the benefit of flip? Jada has she wrote me a question and pointed at it and said, flip versus hold. Talk about that.
Okay. So the first question I want to talk about is legacy lending. How about passing homes from one person to the next? Through FHA lending, we are able to, if you're buying a home from a family member, to do a transaction with $0 out of pocket.
Wow.
So what we do is we structure the transaction at an 85% loan to value transaction with a gift of equity. So that's the equity in the property of 15%. Property has to have equity for this to work how I have it structured. And then you can give 6% seller concession as the seller, meaning that we now have 100% financing from 85% financing, 15% gift of equity, 6% seller concession. You have now bought a house from your family member that has equity in it with no money out of pocket, and you've now passed a legacy. That's number one.
They do have to qualify regularly.
They do have to qualify with income credits, so, you know, so on and so forth.
Okay.
That's one piece. Let's talk about you own a home. You're ready to transition into a new home. You've built equity in your existing home. You realize that this home is an asset. You want to retain this asset. Again, you want to build that legacy.
Jada talks about her little red brick house.
That's right.
I have an emotional attachment to that little red brick house. I'm proud of.
You've invested time and energy into the house. A lot of experiences have happened in that house. You want to make someone else, give someone else the opportunity to still be in that home that can care for it like you would have, and that's important. And you want to keep that in your portfolio. We have the ability through conventional.
Tax benefit, right?
You want to keep that tax benefit. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Simon, which is one of the number one benefits to real estate. So what you're going to do in that instance, we're going to do a conventional loan. We're going to use that lease from that new tenant to now erase the monthly obligation as it reports on your credit, and now that frees you up. And your bandwidth now increases for you to go out and purchase your new home. So this is from vacating existing property. We now can use a lease to eradicate the monthly payment for that mortgage. So now you have the bandwidth to qualify for your new home purchase, and now you have an investment property as well.
Steve, that was the best reason why you came here today, just to make that statement. Thank you.
For you.
Yeah. I'm done. Y'all have a good day.
I've heard everything I need to hear. Where do I sign? So, Steve, what other programs do you have?
For investors.
Yeah, are all of your programs just for people who want to buy homes to live in? Or can you help me out outside of me owning a home and not wanting to rent mine? do you have a program where I can just become an investor and find,
yes,
you know, like 2 or 3K? I know like these 2 or 3K loans if I want to fix it, but those are for live-ins.
Correct.
What about for people who want to invest as well?
I'm so happy you brought that up. We have a program right now. It's called the Fannie Mae Home Style Renovation Program. I'm actually working with a nonprofit by the name of Home for USA to try to bring this to market on a larger level. This allows you as an investor to purchase a property for 85% loan to value of the after repair value. So simple mathematics would be you have a home, the home price is $100,000, and it's going to be $50,000 to rehabilitate the property and bring the property up to standards. After repair value of the house may be $250,000 or something of that nature. The loan is going to be, you take the $100,000 plus the $50,000, your loan's going to be for 85% of the $150,000. So your down payment would be 15% in that example. There is no other loan that's out here on the market outside of hard money that's going to give you acquisition and rehab money. So this is huge. And the seller can give you up to 3% seller concession.
Oh, wow.
So again, the value of the home is way higher, but now you're only putting down 15% as an investment property, and you can do luxury improvements. You want to put a swimming pool there, you want to build a grotto, you want to have the outdoor fireplace experience. You can do that with this product as well. So it's really changing the market. It's changing the game. It's something with this whole revitalization of Baltimore piece that I want people to be aware of, that there's another option outside of hard money. Hard money, you're paying interest rates of 14.99%. Hard money terms are typically only for a year, and then you're forced to refinance. This is a 30-year fixed product. We're looking at rates no higher than 5.5%. You know, so this changes the landscape for investors and allows people who actually have the money to get the rehab money and not spend it out of pocket.
Gotcha. And Steve, tell me, you're not only a client, I'm the player president.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
Not only do you talk this, you actually utilize these vehicles yourself.
I utilize these vehicles myself. Myself and Mr. Simon, we want individuals to understand the options that are out there. And our job, I feel, is to educate on the resources that we can use and bring them to the marketplace and allow people to, of course, have that ownership.
So, Steve, we want to wrap this one up a little shortly. So I'm going to end with a few questions, right?
Yes, sir.
You talked a lot. It's clear that you know a lot what you're talking about. And when
I know a little something.
When I go into Bank of America and meet with a mortgage professional, I never get this much information, right? What's the difference between working with you and like a large M&T, Wells Fargo person that's just sitting in those clear offices?
Well, we know that when we own something or we have ownership, you know, we take pride in that. Mm-hmm. You know, I stand behind my name because, of course, it's my name. So
I guarantee it.
I'm gonna try harder.
Me more than you know the chairman of General Mills.
So we're gonna stand behind that. And
that wasn't
again,
coming to America, by the way, Ashley.
American gangster.
Our business is referral based, so there's a different level of onus that you have when someone is sent to me. I know that performance is gonna be key, and like I said, we work, we play, we worship. You know, we do all these things with our clients, so it's a little bit different. I have to sit next to you in church, and I know I have to perform at a certain level because I have to see you. So I'm held to a different standard. And for me, like I said, it's a mission. It's something, it's not just a career path. It's something I feel I have a spiritual obligation to sow into my community. So I'm just that passionate and serious about it. And you'll see that through working with me. Please don't be alarmed if you get a phone call from me at 10 o'clock at night. I'm working on your file because we need to move forward, and I'm dedicated.
It's Steve. But Steve, also, some of those bankers in the bank, they get salary. You eat what you kill.
Correct. I'm commission-based, so there is no salary. So if we don't close loans, and our production is what also is our overhead. So our staff is paid from our production. Our lease is paid from our production. Everything, our whole operation is based off of production. So I take on an obligation when I'm bringing someone on board to pay them a salary, and I take that obligation very seriously.
So you're working as an entrepreneur, Steve, and you've done some entrepreneurship stuff. I think that we maybe run out of a little time for this one, so I want to bring you back on to talk about it from the entrepreneurship perspective.
I appreciate that.
We can have some boss talk.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
So, Steve, people that want to follow you, get in contact with you, What's your IG name?
Sure, IG is Steve Try, S-T-E-V-E-T-R-Y-E. Facebook is Steve Try, the Mortgage Guy. Email Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, at fdmhome.com. Office number 410-695-3547. Cell phone 410-913-4726. And website is approveusnow.com.
I think that you've gave us every way to find you possible.
Yes, sir.
So, one thing I forgot to mention, when you close a house, Steve shows up to your closing. He has these signs. He gives you gifts. He does it all.
That's right.
He makes the whole, he thinks about the whole experience.
It's a celebration. And, you know, we're celebrating home ownership. We're celebrating excellence. Your home being your start of your first business. We're celebrating excellence. And we're celebrating the fact that you went through the process. That process itself says a lot about who you are. It says a lot about your determination. And you deserve to be celebrated in that process.
Awesome. Jada, you haven't been this speechless.
I mean, he's answered every question. And he made me feel comfortable while he did it.
Thank
so.
You.
This is good.
Steve, I might, if this is what it takes for Jada to become quiet, we're gonna give you an internal office. You can just work from here, bro. And then we don't have to worry about
that.
Build
my wealth so that I can pass it on. Thank you, Steve.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Jada.
So, Steve, Jada, I guess we don't need to do it on the couch. That was a lot of information to take in.
No, that was a lot to process. And I took notes, and Ashley took notes, and we're excited. And I think Steve will probably be getting a call from the McCrazies.
Wonderful.
Hey, and Steve did a presentation for our staff. I think we may need to get him back in.
For the new year, yeah.
For the new year, to get people going right before. Maybe we need to get you in before the W-2 hits.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
And the malls got sales and stuff.
Exactly.
And so Ashley goes to Sephora.
It happens every week. It doesn't matter. Hello,
it's me. So Steve, Try, the Mortgage Guy, Jada, Chris, Ashley, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
This is our Meeting You Where You Are podcast. I hope that you enjoy it. Keep downloading and listening. Share with your friends. If you follow Jada on Facebook, make sure you repost it. Jada has a whole, she has like the beehive, the J-hive.
Oh, my gosh.
They Jada hive. They all love her, yeah,
friend.
So.
And I'm very
all her cop and steak buddies. All her cop and steak buddies. No, I'm just kidding. So, no, it's all good. So, we're signing off. We out of here.